Well, happy Earth Day. Exciting. So we have been on the process of the sacred human initiation on a map, a human mandala called the Four Shields. And this is the third of our 4 weeks on the Four Shields. So you might remember that we started out in the south, the shield. And the shields, by the way, are not shields like we may think of the way that we learned about them, like something for protection. They're more like a flag you might fly, you know, or you might think of it as a doorway that you're walking through that's labeled, you know. So I'm walking into the southern doorway, the southern portal. And the southern portal is the child, it's the south, it's the summertime. And so that was our first week. And last week we went to the west. The west is deep and dark, womb-like, cave-like, adolescence. And it's also sunset and fall, the season of fall. So it's a necessary, really important passage for our coming of age. And our coming of age, by the way, can happen at any time. So it doesn't have to be during the adolescent years. And we continue to go round and round the wheel at different times and visit the adjacent, the wings, if you will, of the shield that maybe we're working with or the stage that we're in life. Sometimes we look across the wheel for the gifts of that particular shield, that particular doorway or flag, and pull in those gifts to balance us. So this week, we come to the north. And as we go through that western passage, each one as we go, we move away from it, we're ending something and we're walking into a new beginning. So each one is a transition and initiation to our further development as divine human beings. And so the western shield, as we move through that cave-like, womb-like, some might say navel-gazing period, it can also be a very dramatic period of death and rebirth, you know, or it could be just a kind of death and rebirth in our lives. And so sometimes it shows up in this dramatic way, and sometimes it's also something that we do by a real conscious decision to go through an initiation, to initiate ourselves. Or it might happen through grace or life circumstance that we just kind of get thrown into an initiation. But generally, as we come around out of the West, we come into the North with our gifts to share with our people, to share as we create and make home. So I thought of this person. This person came to mind, Ida Risi Ali, who really embodies all the shields very beautifully. In 2012, I had the opportunity to meet her. She's a young spiritual master in Bali, Indonesia. And there she had her own really powerful and dramatic initiation through the West. When she was 20, she was starting to go to school and kind of try to figure out what she wanted to do when she grew up, like all of us, right? And in that process, somewhere along the way, around that time of her life, she had a death experience. And it was unlike some of the near-death experiences that you hear about, in that when she came back from it, she came back knowing all kinds of things that she had never been taught. She knew the scriptures inside and out. She knew sacred mudras and chants and ancient languages nobody speaks anymore. And so normally to be a high priest, a male high priest in Bali, it takes decades of training and time and 5 years of testing. But Ida Risi Ali knew all of it already. And so in 3 months, very unusual, she was ordained the youngest high priestess of Bali, and also very unusual as a woman to be given that honor. She, for the last 11 years, has been of counsel to the people in Bali. And so I'd like her to introduce herself by this video.
Om Ganga Saraswati Vishnu Anga Durga Sarai Puparthivi Veda Mahamantram Jaya Jaya Buddha Narayana Yinama Aksara Vishnu Amurti Karma Yinama Swa.
I never had a dream or had a desire to become a high priestess, but in our tradition, it's the highest purpose.
Wanaradayat Banira Angka Bodhisattva Satwa Bodhidharma Wasta Midra Aksamudra, Raja Bodhinata Kamba Sanchitam Rupam Apramudita.
I do ceremony every day, a chanting mantra. Water purification is Asian tradition. The energy, what I feel, we call taksu, you know, power of infinite pridom, feminine energy. My name is Ida Resi Alit. I'm a high priestess from Bali.
So when I met her, I felt like she was the embodiment of Kuan Yin. And she's been, you know, blessing her people for 11 years and continues to do so, sometimes in ceremonies of 10,000 people several times a day. She's traveling for the first time, and I caught wind of this and asked her if she'd come here.
Wow.
Friday, May 11th, she'll be here. So very excited to share that with you. Yeah. And so bringing her gifts of the North is a sharing of our gifts, you know, and her consciousness of blessing Mother Earth is something that we get to come into from the other side of the planet, you know. It always feels good to me to know about these people like the Dalai Lama and these masters and teachers around the world. It feels like they're holding the space, you know, all around the world. And we, each of us, are doing that too, you know. We don't have to be acknowledged as a great spiritual master to be holding that kind of conscious space, because we are whole people. We are spiritual and divine, and we're spiritual and divine and earthy and physical. You know, we're all of it. We're holistic. And that's what this human mandala, this wheel, the four shields, are all about of sacred human initiation. That we are a child, and we are an adult, and we are an elder, and we are an adolescent. And there are seasons of our lives, and we are spirit itself. And so in the West, we are in that soul realm, and in the South, the body realm, and we come through the soul, the authentic understanding of who we are as a human being and what we have to give, sometimes initiated as dramatically as Idi Resi Alit was, through a death and rebirth kind of experience, and sometimes maybe less dramatically, but still, perhaps by grace, by life situations, by a proactive decision to do so. So the questions, the guiding questions that we tend to bring with us through especially the West into the North, but all around the wheel, are, you know, where is home is a question. Of course, Earth is home, but specifically, where is home may be a soulful question that we have for ourselves. And who, and what are my gifts? And who are my people? Who are my people to be with, to be supported by, but also to give my gifts to? And so those questions may be questions that we continue to hold and refine and try out. And in the North, when we come out as a young adult through that process of initiation of adolescence, we may try on our careers, our families, our place of where we want to live for the first time. And for many of us in our culture, we go round and round the wheel, right? And we may try on a new career or a new home or a new family. And so we are both creating and sustaining and building and co-creating in the Northern Shield. We are giving of what we have been given. We are in that sort of reverent space of recognizing that spirit cannot know itself but through its own form and creation. And so we ourselves are that form, that channel through which the source may know itself. And so what is the gift that we give? How is it that we channel the source? How specifically do we want to give to the world? And so those are questions that we may continue to hold and not just hold and wonder about, but actually act upon. The Northern Shield is very much about the fifth principle of unity, the action principle. It's putting feet to our prayers. It's going ahead and making the choice to create or to raise a family, or if not our own, to raise the children of the world in some way, to invite in specific children as our neighbors or our godchildren, or to be an auntie or an uncle or a grandparent or an adopted grandparent or auntie or uncle in some way, you know? So those are some really rich ways that we give. We give to our elders. We take care of our parents, our grandparents. So a lot of the Northern Shield is also about relationship and how we show up in relationship. It's love in action. And it is also about how we care for our home, our planet Earth, our mother, who gives us water and food and shelter and insights and a place for recreation, recreation, a place for us to find rest and beauty and inspiration. There's so many gifts, aren't there, given to us by the flowers and the plants and the trees and the animals. On Friday, we had a nature immersion, a spring nature immersion. We do this every season. I offer this. We go somewhere local, and we spend a day immersed in nature. And part of it is together as a group and support, and a big chunk of it is in solitude, walking the earth with an intention that we have in our life, and receiving those insights and giving blessings, and then coming back in circle and telling the stories of what happened. So we found this lovely little nook where there was a tree that was partially downed, and it created beautiful shade for us, and there happened to be a picnic table there by the creek. I mean, it was just really lovely. And that's where we kind of set up our base camp, if you will, for the day. And it happened to also be a place where inchworms were falling from the tree. So we kept getting blessed with these little inchworms, and they were like bright, beautiful, bright lime green, a lot of them, you know, and truly inching along. And so it was, you know, we watched the inchworms measure the picnic table or measure our clothing. And when we broke the fast late in the day and had our potluck laid on the picnic table, one was also measuring the guacamole. So luckily we saw it, or, you know, additional protein. So it was just a really sweet blessing, you know, and very Northern Shield, you know, to be measuring. You know, the North is also ruled by the mind. So there's body in the South and soul in the West and mind in the North. And, you know, our third principle in unity is about co-creation. So this is the place of, every shield, of course, has an aspect of co-creation. But particularly in the North, we are deliberately co-creating our Earth and co-creating for our Earth, co-creating with each other and for each other. Co-creating for ourselves, co-creating with spirit, with the divine in all of its forms. And so we can decide then, what is it that we want to create? What is it that we are envisioning for the world? What is it that we want to give? What is ours to channel as source to create this heaven upon the earth and to reflect the beauty of Mother Earth? And so each of us then begin to walk that, to share our gifts in a variety of ways. David White said this, the poet said this about work. His definition is that work is an opportunity for discovering and shaping. the place where the self meets the world. And so if you think about, you know, when we're working, it's not just about a list of tasks, right? To do just because it needs to get done, because we think it needs to get done. When we infuse that with a consciousness of what we're really doing, you know, that we are discovering ourselves in spirit, and we are shaping ourselves in spirit into form, we become that divine potter with the clay, you know, that is creating the form, the art, the music. We're creating whatever it is that we create and put into the world, the care, the love, the compassion, the kindness, the little plants that you might be. I'm hearing a lot of people talk about their vegetable gardens right now, or we've been talking about that at staff meetings. So the plants that you're planting, the digging in the earth and the growing up of the tomatoes, you know, all of this, the cooking that you do, the kind smiles that you give, all of this is a giving and a receiving and a co-creation of the world and the kind of world upon which we want to live. And so we particularly turn our attention to our planet, our beautiful blue planet here, in the ways that we might want to give back to her for all the things that we receive. This relationship is also a giving back. And how is it that we might give back? It can be simple ways that we know about, that you can learn about at our table, about reducing plastic pollution. Today in the paper, in our local East Bay Times, it said that if we continue at the rate we're continuing with plastic pollution, that by 2050, the oceans will be heavier in weight of plastic than fish. Yeah. So what can we do? What can we do about that? Well, certainly each of us can act mindfully and consciously, right? We can say no to single-use plastic, no to plastic bottles. We can start, you know, if you haven't already, drink from your reusable bottle right on cue. Simple things, right? Not take straws that end up in the noses of those beautiful ancient sea turtles, you know? Just to know what it is that we can do. They're simple things, but they're easy things. So, no, thank you, I don't want a straw and a lid and a to-go cup and a container to put it in and a plastic bag for that and two bags in case it's not enough. You know, it's like, no, thank you. So just being aware of that, bringing that kind of consciousness, is a great gift of love to Mother Earth. The poet William Wordsworth said, if I can find it, nature never did betray the heart that loved her. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? And so why would we betray her? And we won't, and we don't, if we each take personal responsibility. The North is, if nothing else, about responsibility, the ability to respond. And we respond by our love, our connection, our walking barefoot, our prayers, our blessings, our gratitude, and actions that we take like these that are just really clear, simple actions of everyday life that say, I care, it matters, I want to contribute in a positive way. There's also in the North this realm of mind, this beautiful place where we download and upload from the spirit within us divine ideas from that divine intelligence out of which we were made. Humans are fabulous at innovation and creativity. There's a young, three young men from the UK that have started a startup called Macrobur. And Macrobur is this company that is taking all that plastic pollution, or much of that plastic pollution in the UK, and having it remade down into the tiny particles like asphalt and making their roads out of plastic. And it turns out it's more durable and it's cheaper and it doesn't use fossil fuels like asphalt does. And we're literally repaving our roads with our garbage. Isn't that fabulous? Yeah. Yeah. Yay to those young men. And so even if that weren't our actual divine idea, we'll have our own divine ideas, and we can support those ideas. And we can say, hey, how can we get that to come to our own country? And apparently these roads don't get potholes as easily, and there's all kinds of good that comes from this wonderful divine idea, one divine idea. Have you ever heard of Luna, the redwood tree that's over 1,000 years old? So many of you are nodding your heads. She is near Stafford, California, and she was made very popular by Julia Butterfly Hill, a young environmental activist who lived in the canopy of that tree for over 2 years. And she lived there as a protest to the logging that was going on and to raise awareness that there was only 3% left of the ancient redwood forests. And she wanted people to understand, of course, and to stop this. And so with the help of steel workers and environmentalists, the negotiations happened after those 2 years. And that tree is protected with a 3-acre buffer zone all around her. It was an area where there had been mudslides in Stafford, California, and 7 homes had been destroyed. And she said from her treetop vista, she could see the scar of where those mudslides were. And she could then hold that, knowing that when we care for the earth and the trees, we care for our people, because it protects the watershed and the erosion of the oil and, I'm sorry, the erosion of the soil. And something about oil in there, but we're not going there right now. And so it's, you know, those acts, those courageous acts that we can both support as adults, as elders, support our young people as they're doing such things, or do them ourselves, or download and upload our own divine ideas for how we can contribute, how we can be in this symbiotic relationship that is always happening, right? Sure as we breathe out and give the gift of carbon dioxide to our sisters, the plants and the trees, we breathe in the next breath and are given the gift of oxygen. And so there's this constant symbiotic relationship. So every breath can be a thank you to the plants and the trees, and can be a let me give you this back and know that I will care for you in whatever ways that I can as you have cared for me. So the work, the service, the gifts, the kindness, the compassion, the relationships, it all happens in the shield. It's a big part of our walk on earth. And an important part of this is that we access the other shields too. So if you are somebody who's very familiar with the North, as many of us in our culture are, you might actually get over zealous in the North and tend to be overwhelmed or stressed. And when we do that, we tend to get into places like perfectionism and control, and it's not fun anymore. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. The to-do list is too long. The work is too much. It's exhausting. And so this is when we look across the circle to our southern shield, to our inner child who's saying, hey, you want to go out and play? Time to rest, take care of your body. I remember early on when Brenly and I were dating, she left me a message on my voicemail that said, all work and no play is not good for the soul. And I kept it and played it a lot so that I could remind myself that we don't serve our people well if we are not taking care of ourselves and allowing ourselves to play and to connect with the earth and to remember who we are. And so that shield helps us in that balancing act. And to have fun, to have joy. You know, our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, when he was 93 years old, you might have heard this quote before, he said, I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought be done by me. 93. And that's how an entire movement was spawned, out of that kind of joy of the Northern gifts, joy of serving, joy of working, honor of what it is that we have to give, not sacrifice. Years ago when I was, actually I said in the first service it was a fast, but it wasn't. It was when I was doing a mirroring training with the School of Lost Borders. Part of what I do in these immersions is mirroring the stories. And this young Frenchman and I went out, we all had assignments that day to go out at sunrise. It was the Eastern Shield. And so we were driving, we decided we wanted to get up really early, like 3 or 4 in the morning, and go to the ancient bristlecone pine forest, which was nearby. And I have this childlike love for jackrabbits, like I just love them so much. I mean, they're just so darn cute, and they're fast, and you don't get to see them usually, typically, a lot, but those big ears, and yeah, there's lots of things about them I love. And I had been doing a lot of work in this training around, you know, I got the northern shield down, like really down, and it was too much, you know? And so I was looking for the balance of the southern shield. And so the jackrabbit to me was like that childlike joy, you know? And so we were driving, and it was dark, and it was curvy, and I hit a jackrabbit and killed it. And oh, my goodness, yeah. You all just expressed it with me. Oh. But, you know, I realized then as we were processing through the rest of the training that jackrabbit sacrificed itself so that I would stop sacrificing myself. And it made me recognize that the beauty of our work and our gifts is to be given in honor, not in sacrifice. And so if you are finding yourself in those places of workaholism or overstress or overdoing, breathe and look to the south. And remember to honor your body, honor your holistic being, honor play, honor the earth, who loves it when you come out and play upon her and recreate, recreate, be in relationship with, because it solidifies that bond of love that we have for our home. So many ways that we give in this northern shield, and that we can fairly sizzle with joy and enthusiasm as we find truly what lights us up to do. My sister went on one of these Unity Rising spiritual trips, my sister Kay, and we were in Peru, and she doesn't speak any Spanish. I speak very little, and I knew enough to know this thing that she was saying was not correct. And so we came out of the hotel room, and she's very friendly, she's a very enthusiastic person and loves people. And so she greeted the housekeeper, and she greeted the person at the front desk, and she greeted the waitress at breakfast with Buenos Aires. And I said, "I, it's Buenos Dias, I'm pretty sure, not Buenos Aires." And she's like, "Oh, no, it's Buenos Aires." And she was very stubborn about it. "It's Buenos Aires, I know it is." She said, "They're saying it back to me." I said, "No, they're not." So it took somebody else in our group who spoke Spanish coming down for breakfast, Joe, to say, "No, okay, it actually is Buenos Dias." She said, "Oh, really?" She said, "What does Buenos Aires mean?" He said, "Good air." So I think that's a great way to greet each other, right? A constant affirmation for clean air. The breath of life, the breath of spirit that connects us, the symbiotic relationship with all plant life, right? Buenos Aires. Try it out. It feels good. So maybe we can just continue to affirm the clean air, the clean water, the clean food, all the beauty of the world, to reclaim it, to recycle it, to reuse it, to pave our roads, to do amazing, innovative things that we can do in the north, and to support the people who are doing those things. The Northern Shield spans adulthood into elderhood. It isn't until the east that we make our life transition, so it's a long shield of life. And so when we move to the elderhood, we can be the mentor. I mean, we can be mentors at any time, but, you know, that often is a time in our life where we turn then to mentorship, to support of these innovative ideas, young people like Charles Fillmore at 93 that are filled and sizzling with zeal and enthusiasm, you know? So it's ageless, it's timeless where we are in this wheel, and it's also significant each stage along the way. So we do what we do, you know, in part for the children. This is a big part of the Northern Shield too, for the children, for those to come, and for those we see here now, for those we are personally connected with. And often it helps when you're doing your work and giving your gifts and honoring the things that you are about in the world and the people that you are serving or the animals or the planet that you are serving, to think about how not just this group here, but what is to come. Do you know about the 13 indigenous grandmothers? The 13 indigenous grandmothers are from all around the world, and they've come together to work toward healing for humanity, for our planet. And they've been working together for many years, and each one has hosted the other group to learn about their own indigenous traditions. So they've been all over the world together, each one has welcomed them. And then they do work together. They've created a mission together. They do trainings and just share their wisdom, essentially. And one of the things that, as part of their mission statement, is a tradition throughout many indigenous cultures, is that what we do impacts not just this generation and the next one, but seven generations to come. And so that we think about the actions that we take in the world as an impact for seven generations to come. It's that wide scope view. It's an Eastern Shield kind of big picture idea that we are all in this together, that we are all one, and that it matters what we do now because it creates the kind of future we want for our children. Native Americans also have a saying, we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children. Yeah, many of you have heard that. So if you envision a child, one child maybe that you're connected with in some way, or even a child that you've met in passing that has somehow stayed in your heart, that what you do is for them. You know, if you personalize it like that, and then not just for them, but their children and their children's children and on, seven generations it goes. Who will care for the children? Myrtle Fillmore asked our co-founder. And then she answered her question immediately, I will. And that's very mature Northern Shield material. That is how somebody in the Northern Shield who has ripened into the maturity of the gifts of the shield behaves in the world, with ability to respond. And so we can be the ones who say, who will care for our immigrants? Who will care for the refugees? Who will care for the people of color? Who will care for the transgender people? Who will care for the earth? I will. I will. Mario will. Pure love in action, right? That's what Northern Shield is, pure love in action. And so it is the things that give us the zealousness and the enthusiasm and that make us sizzle that will be the things that are ours to do. And we know what they are, or we try something out and we find out what they are. So I invite you into this because I believe that every fiber of my being, with every breath that we take, that we are choosing to co-create the kind of world that we want. And that even though there are reality checks every so often that say, wow, the circumstances are dire, will we survive? I believe, yes, we will thrive. And the more we work this kind of wheel of life, the more we balance ourselves into the holistic beings that we've come to be, the more joy we will infuse our gifts with, our service with, our work with, our relationships with, our families with. So let's close with that. A little bit of Charles Fillmore and a little bit of Earth for the children. Together? I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm to serve the Earth and her children yet to come. So it is.